This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is how to avoid real estate investing mistakes. But before we get started, on a more serious note here, I wanted to just address an issue here, and maybe we'll just sort of transition into the topic for today. Is I heard some disheartening news, unfortunately, recently regarding one of our podcast guests. And now I'm not going to jump in and attack somebody unless I know more of the facts, but I am getting bits and pieces right now, so I'm not going to share any names, but it sounds like this particular person got in a business that they may have been trying to grow too fast. They're selling turnkey homes that were really not properly renovated, it seems like. At least these are the accusations that have come out. Weren't carefully inspected, tenanted, and there's a number of very upset clients and maybe even potential lawsuits. And I just want to make a comment here is that things can happen with anybody, especially if somebody's trying to grow a business too fast. But at the same time, it's really, really important to me that when I have guests on the show that I vet them as best I can. And I really do. I do everything I can to find out, if they've been on shows that I respect, and I can even talk to the hosts of those shows. I can check, background. I go online and try to, get the best available information. So there's been plenty of people that we have not had on the show that we just didn't feel comfortable with. And sometimes there will be those that may appear on the show that may not necessarily be doing things as honorable as they probably could. And so I want to address this because, first off, I want you guys to be aware that even though you may hear this person on our show, doesn't imply in any way that we have endorsed that person. They just may have a topic area that is of interest to our listeners, and we kind of go in from there. But at the same time, I understand, sometimes you'll hear somebody and they sound good and you may go with them, and then why did I ever go with that person? First off, I'm collecting more facts and trying to get more info on this one situation, but a word of caution here. First of all, I'm not a big fan of turnkey in the first place. I think there's some flaws in the model, and I think it's difficult to do turnkey effectively all the time. So there may be some great companies out there. Why do I say this about turnkey? Well, first off, because I started with turnkey. I've dealt with two different companies, and in both situations, I think it turned out pretty negatively. That's part of the purpose of this show, really, is that I share my mistakes with you guys so that you hopefully won't repeat them. I don't say that, all turnkey companies are bad. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying carefully research the companies that you're about to spend money with before you, before you do make that investment. You don't want to go into any kind of a situation where you're taking your hard-earned dollars and, risking it. Also, even though we screen our guests pretty carefully, I just want you to know it doesn't, because they're on the show, does not imply an endorsement, okay? Because we can't know everything about everybody and their situations. Please, please, always do proper due diligence before you go with any business, organization, or individual. I recognize, we're especially those of us that, you know, we have our retirement funds and the money that we want to spend, you know, for our future here and our family's future, you know, you don't want to waste that money. You don't want to make some bad investments. That's going to happen. We all do it. We've all done it. But just do your proper due diligence. Just that you know out there too, you know, there are some red flags, things that you can look for and things that I look at even when I evaluate my own buying decisions and, you know, guess that we might be going after. So, you know, if you look at any, whether it's a turnkey company, a coaching, educational program, seminars, boot camps, whatever it is, here's some red flags that I look at. Anyone that says real estate is the perfect investment, okay, you got to be cautious about, okay, because that is not, there's no such thing as a perfect investment. I think without a doubt, it's like the best that I know of in my situation, in my retirement, but nothing's perfect. Anyone who says it's really easy, okay, that's a red flag. Anyone who says you'll get rich overnight, okay, or anyone who sells their real estate services, coaching, etc., with real slick marketing, YouTube videos featuring bikini-clad supermodels, Ferraris, or Learjets, well, you decide. Okay, if they say it's too good to be true, they're probably right. It's not true. Doing it right is hard work, okay, first right off the bat. I mean, it does have amazing benefits, you know, tax benefits and financial benefits, but you know, you've got to be realistic at the same time. I really love real estate investing. Being a pretty positive and optimistic person in nature, I do get overly enthusiastic at times, and because I really believe real estate investing provides excellent opportunities for anyone who's willing to work at it, you know, especially 50 plusers who want to fill that income gap and get a good return on their investment, build a legacy for their family. But I'm also going to get real with you, and I try to get real with you as often as I can. I'm not just going to paint a pretty picture. Going to share the good, the bad, and of course the just plain ugly stuff too. Why? Well, because I do care about you, the folks that listen to the show. I care about you guys. I mean, I feel I have a responsibility just being in front of this microphone right now, and my responsibility first off is to God. I believe in God. I believe that He is the one I'm accountable to, and then my family, and then it's all of you. And if I do stuff, man, call me. I you know, I want to be held accountable. I have people that listen to the show that I see all the time. I say, hey, if I start to go off base, or if I sound too, you know, rose-colored glasses here, you know, draw me back in. I don't want you to go into your real estate investing with blinders on. I don't want you to repeat some of the dumb mistakes that I've made. I want you to be realistic, but at the same time, be optimistic, okay? Don't lose your enthusiasm just because you hear a few horror stories, but definitely learn from those horror stories. That's the key word here. Ask some simple questions when you hear about someone else's mistakes or how someone got burned. Why did that person get in this situation? Did they not, you know, do thorough research and due diligence? Did they just trust the person or business too much without really checking them out thoroughly? Did they take shortcuts in the interest of time that ended up costing them? And the list goes on and on. You can come up with your own questions, I'm sure. Sometimes we're quick to blame the other person when the problem was really us. You don't want to be one of those people saying, you know, and I'm being a little sarcastic here, but hey, he said I should be wealthy now. Where's my Maserati? Where's my Learjet? You know, I mean, okay, I know that's a little extreme, but you know, you got to be realistic. You know, it's if you make a bad decision, you make a bad decision, and you need to be accountable to it. That's why I like my friend Paul Moore, who's been on this podcast a couple of times. Good man. Again, no, here I'm making another endorsement. Okay, sorry, but yeah, you know, I really like Paul. I think he's a good guy. So, but check him out if you do business with him, right? Okay, but he has this great podcast called How to Lose Money. Okay, like we need a podcast to learn that, right? Well, it features guests who share their big mistakes so that others can learn from them. Isn't that great? I mean, really, that's where we learn the most, is from our mistakes, right? So I think it's a great idea for a show. And yes, I was a guest, right? Okay. I've lost money and I've definitely shared it, my story. This is actually sort of pre-real estate that I went into, but I share my story there. And I'll even put a link in it here for the show notes for those of you that want to, you know, cringe through this one. But, you know, In fact, I could probably be a guest every week on his show if he wanted me, because I think I've got plenty of good content here. But anyway, the point is, you just got to do your proper research and due diligence before you invest to try to avoid those headaches. You know, the reality is the headaches are going to come. That's just part of the package. You know, when you do try to do something like this, where you're going to generate significant money and it's going to be something that's going to help your family for years to come. Okay, here's my part now. I'm going to give you some real ugly stuff. And, that's what I do. I give you the good, the bad, and the ugly. Well, here is some ugly for your week. Yeah. All right. Those of you that are ready to turn the radio off, or your iPad or iPhone or whatever it is, wait. I think there's some good stuff here you can learn from. Okay. A lot of you know I was just in Indianapolis a couple weeks ago. I went there to add a few more Airbnb units to my 22-unit apartment. Had a great week. Okay. But I worked my butt off. I mean, there wasn't a minute to rest. I was hoping to visit people I know in Indy and all this other stuff, but it was nonstop work from the moment I woke up. I added, though, two more Airbnb units, which is great. And I actually had the opportunity to meet some of my Airbnb guests, which I've never done before. I've always had people in Indy that were the first point of contact there. So I met two Airbnb people, and one of them I was really kind of thrilled about, because this is an area we really want to attract, you know, guests from. She's a traveling nurse and a very, very nice lady. I actually got to be the person to welcome her, hand her her keys, and hand her the gift basket. Okay, I put a lot into this gift basket. Ghirardelli chocolates, gourmet coffee, smart water. I mean, you name it, it's in this gift basket. Shampoo, conditioner, soap. I mean, okay, I get a lot of stuff in there, but maybe I overdo it. So why aren't you making any money, Bill? Okay, no, just kidding. So anyway, she was stoked. She loved the place. She even brought her bike because she wants to explore some of the cool Indianapolis bike trails until her second or third night. And then I get this text, okay? Some guy came screaming down the halls in the apartment at 3 a.m. in the morning, banging on the doors. It scared her to death. The next day, she encountered some unsavory guys in the parking lot, okay, that really scared her. Yeah, I understood that, and I started, you know, doing my research and seeing what I could do here to find out who was that was running down the hallway. Was it a tenant? Was it somebody else? What was the story? But it was her personal phone call that really just kind of sealed the deal here. And that was when I answered the phone while I was driving in here. I was back home, Mission Viejo, picking up some pizza for the kids. I got the call. And it's the call that every landlord prays they will never receive. Bill, I can't see. All the lights are out. The building is filled with smoke. I think there's a fire. They're asking us to get out of the building. There are fire trucks everywhere. Oh my God. I was totally just, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It was just scared me to death. And, you know, first thing I said is everyone all right? And, you know, she said, it looks like, you know, nobody's harmed. It's just, we don't really know that much about the fire. Anyway, as you can imagine, I was totally just freaked out. And thank God no one was harmed and everyone was okay. There was just a small, what we think was an electrical fire near the laundry area on our bottom floor. And there was, you know, minimum damage. However, you know, when I heard the information, I kicked right into first responders mode. You know, I had plenty of experience living in Haiti on that one, and called my property manager to go down to assess the problem and take care of whatever had to be taken care of. And, you know, give me a report immediately as to what's really happening and make sure that everyone's all right. And, you know, and I looked at all, you know, all the key issues, you know, where was, where was the fire, what caused it, and as much information as I could get. And, you know, there was some damage. It wasn't real severe, but we may have, you know, lost our washer and dryer. We may have, there's a lot of wiring that's already been rewired. There was a lot of water because of the fire department. Called the insurance company, did everything I could from being away, but it shook me to the core, you know. And then the next morning, my 3-month guest traveling nurse tenant sent me this text: I'm moving into the extended stay suites. Oh, you can keep my first month's rent. You'll need it. Okay. Ouch. Oh, man. I mean, that just hurt so bad. I mean, it didn't hurt so much that, I mean, I understand her. I probably would have done the same thing, but I had some pretty high expectations for this whole Airbnb thing. I haven't given up, but, you know, I was just really, really saddened by the whole thing. And now I had another Airbnb guest, and he was on the floor where the actual fire was, and he wasn't deterred. He's a college student who's looking for work, and he was there to, you know, do job interviews and that kind of stuff. And he really loves his new one bedroom. That was one of the rooms we had renovated. Really sweet looking place. And wasn't deterred by the fire, believe it or not. And it was on his floor. In fact, he felt so at home there. You know, he just came and went and just, you know, loved the place and didn't bother locking his front door to his room. And he would just go out. Well, it happened that one day two guys popped into his room, took his laptop and cell phone. Oh my goodness. Okay, now I'm batting 1,000 here. Okay, poor guy. He's an indie for job interviews, and the two most critical things he needs for a job interview is, right, your laptop for your resume and all your stuff, and your and the phone, you know. I mean, I felt horrible for this guy. I called Airbnb. I said, hey, you know, I know they have insurance that cover this loss. I called my insurance company. Couldn't get straight answers from anybody. Either way, I'm going to cover this guy either way. If the insurance companies don't, I'm going to take care of him. I felt really, really bad about this. Bottom line, okay, and all this stuff that happened is that in real estate investing, the old dog principle still applies there. And that is, if you guys haven't heard that on previous podcasts here, even things you never even thought of or will think of will happen. This was one of those moments, and certainly one of those months. Now, even with all that, you're going to think I'm crazy, but I still love real estate investing, and I still think it's my best route in my retirement years. I wouldn't be doing anything else. But keep in mind, okay, there's a little bit of humor there. I also lived in Haiti for 12 years. Hurricanes, earthquakes, riots, murders, kidnappings, malaria, dengue fever. Okay, all those things did prepare me well for this situation and for real estate investing. But seriously, you don't have to go to Haiti to learn how to be a real estate investor. I consider this and anything else that happens like this as part of my education, okay? I started late in life, didn't have a lot of time to learn. I'm learning a lot in a very short period of time. And stuff's going to happen. It just does. And welcome to real life, right? One thing you will hear on this show, hopefully, is real life. I'll try to my best to give you a realistic view of real estate investing and what to expect, both positive and negative. So the important thing here is to ask the right questions. Okay, what have I learned from these experiences? And I'll try to share this with you, and maybe it'll be of value to you. First off, be prepared before bad things happen. Okay, and I'm not just talking about a fire response plan, but I'm talking about things like flooding and earthquakes and tornadoes and hurricanes, acts of terrorism or mass violence, civil unrest. I mean, just brainstorm to think of what if this happened and come up with a plan for it. Have an emergency protocol and response plan in place. Have it, you know, have a sheet that have all your local emergency phone numbers on it, local fire department, police, ambulance, key on-site people. If you don't have an on-site manager, make some friends with tenants you can trust, people that you could call if you hear anything or if something happens so that they can call you. Make sure that they have your number. I mean, first they should call the property manager, but this was after hours. This was like, at 9, 10 o'clock at night or something like that. And so, you know, you need to have those numbers. You also have to make sure that your property manager is well-trained in how to respond to these situations. They need a copy of this this response plan as well. In that plan, you know, you've got to look at sort of all your worst-case scenarios and how do you respond to it when you don't have a lot of time here, right? What if the building did burn down? What if, you know, one of our tenants went on a shooting spree, something horrible like that? Or how would you relocate tenants in a fire or other disaster, short and long term? Where would they stay? And could you make one call and be able to take care of that? Or would it take a lot more than that? Can you shave off time so that the response would be quickly and swift and wise? How do you communicate with all your tenants? You know, do you have all their cell phone numbers or their, you know, so you could text them or whatever? I mean, these are all, and there's a ton more questions you could think of in your own plan, but put the plan together. I think it's a smart thing to do. Could I have prevented these problems? Well, for the fire, you know, we rewired the place. We had the place inspected. It shouldn't have happened. And we still weren't 100% sure. We're not 100% sure that was the problem. I later found out, okay, in the midst of these things, you do find out stuff. And one of them was that somebody on my property management staff told me about a homeless guy that had been sleeping in the laundry area. And they called the police, found he had drugs on him. He was arrested. However, he was released. Some say he may have come back to start the fire as an act of revenge. I didn't even know about this, okay? Why wasn't I called and told about this when it happened instead of sort of after the fact here? So we don't know for sure that that's what happened. That's something you need to have good communication with your property management. That's another issue. On the guy running through the hallways, unsavory folks in the parking lot, and the theft, okay, the problem with small multis is you can't justify on-site staff that could help prevent these issues. With 100 plus, yeah, you can. I mean, I called the police and they did drive-bys for 5 days, but, you know, what is that going to do? You know, I even brought in a security guard, you know, temporarily for a few days to at least put people at ease and to sort of assess where the problem was. And one of his reports was very helpful. We found out that there's still a problem with prostitution in the area. In fact, in our very parking lot. Okay, I don't want to go into that. But anyway, we have been planning on installing video cameras. Well, this is definitely motivation to do that sooner than later. I put the word out when all this happened to the property manager and his staff that if they know reliable people that are looking for a place to stay, and they'd be willing to be our sort of watchdog at on site, that I would give them discounted rent. Okay, just to let me know. Well, I did get a call just yesterday from our cleaning person, and she said her mother is on, you know, a fixed income, and she really, you know, can't afford you know, an expensive place, that she'd be interested in moving into this place and being our house mom, and would be that person to alert us on issues, check access doors, call the police if there are unsavory people in the parking lot or people disrupting tenants. And I am very excited about this. So I, you know, talked to her about it extensively. I'm going to talk to her on the phone, and I'm going to have my property manager interview her as well. But we're going to take her in on a trial basis and see how this works. This could be a good solution, at least temporarily. I don't know how long she'll stay, but it could help to prevent these kinds of things. So bigger picture sort of lessons that I learned here is part of it goes back to my buying criteria. Did I really know the area I was buying into? I feel I did. I think that, yeah, there were definitely some surprises, but, you know, I bought in a C, maybe C minus area, because it is in the path of progress, you know, and I'm hedging my bet here that the area will improve, and we're seeing it. You know, I'm seeing other buildings in the area that are improving and things are getting better, and, but how long will it take? You know, what do I do in the meantime? Properties in the area, as they improve, and rents are also going up. In the meantime, I've taken lots of notes. I'm doing what I can to protect my tenants, deter potential problems, and prevent future big issues. In conclusion, I have a confession to make. The title of this podcast was a bit deceptive. I'm not really teaching you how to avoid real estate investing mistakes, because you can't avoid all of them. Yeah, you may be able to avoid some and prevent things from happening, but the bottom line is mistakes are just part of the process. Well, I'm really trying not to discourage anybody here. All of us need to make sure that whatever real estate investing endeavor we step into, that we aren't walking in there with rose-colored glasses, blinders, or false expectations. You really do need to do your homework. Get educated. Get a good mentor. Do the proper due diligence. And yes, learn from the mistakes when they will happen, because they will happen. That's just part of it. But I still think real estate's best. Real estate is a great way to go, but do it wisely, okay? Well, that is the show for today, guys. Please note, everything I talked about here is going to be in our show notes at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And look for the show on how to avoid real estate investing mistakes. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.